I don't see why these Connecticut politicians are not doing anything about it. It's definitely, you know, unfair for the, you know, for us to pay another increase. I don't care if it's a 1 cent increase. We need to have help from our politicians.
Why would PURA approve this when actually it's a loss to the companies, Eversource and UI, because of people not being able to pay their bills during the pandemic?
These are just some of the many, many, many comments we have received here on WICC on and off air. And you join a long list of Connecticut residents who are now signing a petition online calling for Governor Ned Lamont to revoke the public benefits charges, as well as for PURA to reverse its recent rate hike approval this week. And so we wanted to talk about something that was actually put forward last week, which was a call from the state Republican Party to have a special session for the governor, for lawmakers on both sides of the aisle, as well as utility regulators, to come together and talk about, are there better solutions going forward to essentially pay back the utility companies that had to eat losses for an electric vehicle program in the state, as well as their no shutoff policy that was in place for, I believe, almost 18 months during the pandemic. And so joining me this morning is State Representative Jonathan Steinberg with the Democratic Party here in Connecticut, a member of the Connecticut House of Representatives for the 136th District, which does include part of Westport. Representative Steinberg has been serving the state for well over a decade in this seat, and we so appreciate him giving us the time because he also is a member of the Energy and Technology Committee. And so this is in his wheelhouse, and we so appreciate getting his perspective on this morning. Representative Steinberg, welcome back to WICC, and thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
Let's talk about, first of all, helping people to understand. August has been a rough month. I'm sure you've also heard from constituents. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but have you heard from people who are outraged about the uptick in their electric bills?
Certainly. As co-chair of the Energy and Technology Committee, a lot of people's complaints are funneled through us, and we're very sensitive and very aware of the genuine pain people are feeling. You know, that past month was one of the hottest we've had on record here in Connecticut. I don't know about you, but my usage virtually doubled. I was running my air conditioner almost all the time. And I think a large component of what people are suffering from right now was the need to use their electricity to a degree that they haven't in the past. I think you can really attribute this to climate change, but that's neither here nor there right now. People are encountering their bills. They're going to see bills again next month that are almost as high. The weather today, for example, is a little bit better. And they don't understand how it could jump so much in one given month. And it's not just about how much energy you're using. It's also about these special charges that are embedded in the public benefits section of the bill, which is really more the all other section of the bill. And these are charges that are not typically part of public benefits. Typically, the public benefits part of your bill is only about 5-6% of your entire bill. People now are seeing it's up to 25-30% because of these special charges that are being paid to the utilities for things they've done in the past, as far back as 7 years ago.
It's being called hidden taxes. It's being called something that should have really been put in the budget versus in people's utility bills. Is that true?
I disagree with that. Getting into the weeds a little bit, the people who ran our nuclear power plant at Millstone, a company called Dominion, was planning to shut it down. It was an older plant. And that was a dangerous possibility for us here in Connecticut. Not only does it mean a lot of jobs in that part of the state, we are very dependent on nuclear energy to meet our energy needs. And any given day, 40% to 50% of the energy we use could come from that nuclear plant. And our regional authority called ISO New England wasn't doing anything to keep them in line. So we did something unusual. We signed a direct contract with Dominion to keep that plant open at a particular price. And the price was pretty good when natural gas prices spiked. But when natural gas prices came down, we ended up having a contract where we owe the utilities for the difference between natural gas and nuclear. That's the payment that we're making over the next 10 months. Now, the chair of PURA, Marissa Gillette, wanted to spread it over a much longer time frame so that the impact on ratepayers on any given bill would be mitigated to a significant degree. Her other two commissioners were sympathetic to the utilities who were demanding the money more quickly. Not that the utilities are hurting. They're still making good profits. They made some bad investments in offshore wind, but they are looking out for their shareholders, not the ratepayers. So when the two other commissioners overruled their own chair, they guaranteed that the impact on our bills would be much higher than it could have been otherwise.
But it seemed like Representative Steinberg, and correct me if I'm wrong, but at least from the people I'm hearing from, no one knew that their public benefits section was going to be $100, $150 more than what it's been. And we had Eversource on the show last week, and they confirmed that they knew it was going to be that high in December, which I'm wondering why there was no transparency. Why didn't people get more of a heads up that we're going to have to pay this back? And also, why are all ratepayers having to suffer the consequences for programs, for example, that they might not have taken part in? So, like, for example, the no shutoff policy, great for some people, but there are many people who did not have an issue paying their bills. Maybe they struggled a little bit, but they paid their bills on time. And now they have to cover the costs of other people. And that just doesn't seem fair. Seems like there could have been a better solution to pay back these companies. Like, I understand what you're saying, but it seems like there could have been a better solution to pay back these companies versus saying, okay, ratepayers, you all are going to kind of split the costs on this and you're going to eat the bill. Doesn't really seem fair.
What I think a lot of people don't know is there's a federal law. It was decided in court requiring states or utilities to be able to cover those kind of costs. This is not something Connecticut is doing independently. To your point, I think it could have been communicated better. I think the utilities spent a lot of their communicating saying, don't blame us. Whereas if they had come in for a rate case to get this resolved a while ago, this might not have happened in the way that it was. They haven't come in for a rate case in over a decade because they're very much afraid that Chair Gillette is going to look under the hood and discover that their practices and their costs are not what they've been representing. They are deathly afraid of being held accountable. This is, in some ways, a war between the utilities and the chair of PURA. And right now, they're doing everything in their power to make PURA look bad and have the government look bad. And what it really comes down to is utility greed based upon their desire to take care of shareholders and not the ratepayers. These charges, as you describe, are not a tax. They are a truing up of money that is owed the utilities because of a contract that they entered into on our behalf. It didn't need to happen at this time. It didn't need to happen in this way. Some people aren't even aware that they've asked for another increase for EV charging stations, which won't amount to all that much money on your bill. But who needs to go any higher at this point in the game?
Correct.
And they didn't need to come to PURA at this time to get that additional money. They could have waited to next spring, but they're piling on right now in order to make PURA look bad, in order to take care of their shareholders. We are in a conflict now between our utilities and those responsible for regulating those utilities, and the ratepayers are paying for that.
We have State Representative Jonathan Steinberg here, who is part of our Connecticut House of Representatives for the 136th District, which does include Westport. And with the Democratic Party, as well as the co-chair of the Energy and Technology Committee. And we're talking about what feels like just an ambush attack if you're a ratepayer for our utilities, especially for Eversource customers. UI so far, okay, might see a little bit of an uptick because PURA this week just approved a rate hike. And as of September 1st, you're going to see about a $3 to $5 upcharge in your bills for both Eversource and UI. But certainly for Eversource customers, I mean, this was like a sticker shock moment at the start of this month when people were seeing their bills go up substantially because the public benefits section of that bill went up so much. I think what's also frustrating here, Representative Steinberg, and I'm not putting this towards you, but I think just in general, who's to blame, I guess, for this is just so unclear. You know that image of the three Spider-Men who are all pointing at each other and they're all blaming each other for who's the real Spider-Man? It's kind of like that. It feels like politicians, Pura and Eversource are all just kind of, and then I guess you could throw climate change in there, are all just sort of pointing the finger at each other for why we're in this situation. But at the end of the day, I'm wondering if there is a better solution forward. Like, I find it ironic that if Eversource knew the bills were going to go up so much in the summer, why were we told about it now? Why not talk about it when we learned about it in the beginning of the year, ironically enough, right before the legislative session? Because I guarantee there would have been a lot of public outcry asking politicians to find solutions during the legislative session. But that didn't happen.
Well, I think, to use your Spider-Man analogy, we'd all rather be in a different multiverse without these charges as part of it. And I want to stress that this is extremely unusual for us to have charges of this kind. And that's why everybody, for the first time, is paying attention to the public part of the public benefits part of their bill. Because, as I said, it never was all that consequential. I take your point. If we had fully realized the magnitude of the impact, and of course we didn't know how hot the summer was going to be, it is something we might have discussed during the past session. Until Pura ruled on whether or not this was going to go forward. Remember, I mentioned earlier that the utilities wanted it really quick in 10 months, whereas the chair of Pura wanted to spread it out so it wasn't so much pain. We didn't fully appreciate the impact it was going to be on ratepayers. We were hopeful the summer wouldn't be too hot. But to your point, this could have been communicated so people weren't as surprised with the bills as they are right now. Clearly, we do not want to be in this situation again. One of the things that we have done, which is perhaps the only practical option we had, is my co-chair, Senator Needleman, my vice chair, Representative Foster, and I have penned a letter to Pura asking them to reconsider the time frame for these charges and to once again consider a longer time frame, because that's the single thing that would have relatively immediate impact on ratepayer bills. The ideas the Republicans came up with, a lot of them are recycled, a lot of them are really partisan. The number of the ideas that House Democrat moderates came up with, I'm a member of that group, are all well-intentioned, but virtually none of them will have the kind of impact quickly that people will feel the benefit. So we have done the one thing we can. I'm with the governor. I'm open to good ideas. I'm open to the concept of a special session if we could come together and really do something that would benefit ratepayers. Other than spreading this out so that the monthly impact is not nearly as great, none of those ideas are going to bring that benefit.
What about reallocating some of the American Rescue Plan funds?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting idea. If we had any significant ARPA funds that were not already spent or committed to other purposes, in order to almost fully mitigate the impact people are feeling, we need over $800 million. And we don't have that or anything near that in ARPA funds. We might be able to devote a much smaller amount, but the ratepayer impact would be negligible.
Well, it sounds so, and I don't know if I have this totally right, but aren't we basically putting all of our ARPA funds into education? But essentially that also could be a real issue, because by the end of this academic school year, when it wraps up, we're now going to be in even more of a deficit because we're paying for something and ARPA funds are going to run out. So why not reallocate?
It's a really good point. Yeah, many of us who are fiscally moderate, as I am, are concerned that we have built into the budget a lot of programs that were predicated on federal support,
right,
which is going away. We're going to have some hard decisions to make to get back to a sustainable budget without the federal funds, which is why we're very wary about spending the rainy day fund or anything else we have, knowing that our budget is going to be constrained again really soon. So I think that's a really excellent point. And one reason that we're wary taking money from other places to use for this, that we're likely to need to sustain the budget so that we don't have to even contemplate talking to Connecticut citizens about a tax increase. We just had the biggest tax cut for the middle class that Connecticut has ever had in its history. We don't want to reverse that.
Right. I'm thinking it's, at least what I've been reading, is that if we could sit down and reallocate some of these ARPA funds before the state comptroller's office certifies the state budget, which would be on October 1st, that could at least mitigate the situation a little bit more. Plus, it would be more of a realistic, I would say, deficit by the end of this academic year. Like, we're putting into place, and I'm not, listen, I have a six-year-old. I'm very much for education, and we talk about education a lot on this show. But one of the biggest concerns, and I've heard this from, you know, top education officials, Beth Bai, Fran Rabinowitz, just to name a few, they come on the show regularly. They're concerned about the fact that we've invested all this money in ARPA funding. And not only is that going to go away, but we then are also at an even bigger deficit. So why not reallocate at least some, if not a lot of those funds to now go towards paying back the utilities in some way to also bring down the cost for ratepayers, along with what you've already put forward, which was to, you know, span it out a little bit more so that the costs are less.
You know, we are on the brink of facing tough choices again. When I came into the legislature, as you noted, more than a decade ago, those were really hard times. We were talking about tax increases. We were talking about cutting programs. I don't want to go back to that. That's why I am particularly wary of spending ARPA funds or any budgetary funds on things that we can't sustain as a state.
Right.
So I think you raise a good point, which is, you know, I don't think anybody argues that the money we would spend on education is much needed and would make a real difference for a lot of people. We have tremendous disparities in the state in terms of educational opportunity. So I think Democrats and Republicans can agree these are worthy ways to spend the money. But now we have forced choices. And I think people are very much legitimately outraged with their bills right now. But I think that we're soon going to be heading to a time we're going to be making more of those choices. And I just hope we don't make choices we end up regretting.
Right. Well, and I think, though, that's what the ARPA funding was at least supposed to be for, was to compensate, you know, companies or entities that struggled during the pandemic. And if that's, you know, a huge part of why these bills are so high is that we're trying to, you know, get the money back to utilities, for example, for the no shutoff policy. That's what this money should be going to, not to create some kind of, I want to say, a false headline that, hey, schools and education is doing really well. And then we find out that we're actually in a deeper pile of you know what by the spring of 2025.
Yeah, again, I think the education spending is in the spotlight because that's what we've chosen to spend the ARPA money on. But to your point, we're going to have all sorts of decisions to make about the budget, not just education, as these ARPA funds run out. And this is the conversation the legislature needs to have. Unfortunately, it doesn't lend itself to being done on the fly in a special session just before an election. This kind of debate is really best suited for the session itself. Now, people don't want to hear that, so we don't come back into the session until January. But what you're talking about is a pretty consequential set of decisions that will have ramifications for the entire budget.
So you don't see a special session happening?
Again, I'm open-minded about it. I laud all of those who have come forward with ideas, who are genuinely concerned and would like to find solutions. But as the governor said, the only point for coming in for special session is if we can make a difference for ratepayers now. And, you know, other than sort of stretching out the impact, I've not heard a practical solution that a special session would warrant.
Well, Representative Steinberg, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about this. As you know from your own constituents and we hear from WICC listeners, this is a huge issue and something that is on the minds of many. So thank you for addressing it here on the air, and I'm sure we'll talk again very soon.
We will be having conversations as a legislature, and I assure you going forward, we will communicate to the public what they have to look forward to, good or bad.
Representative Steinberg, thank you again for your time.